Last Sunday afternoon, I went to Wembley Stadium for an FA Cup semi-final match. It was a fantastic day out. I've been proudly displaying the pictures on Facebook all week, made better by the fact that our team won, Crystal Palace for the Cup, and all week I've been telling people how much I enjoyed it. It felt very poignant on Tuesday when suddenly the headlines were full of the story of the Hillsborough inquiry, thinking about those families, just like my family, who 27 years ago headed off to cheer on their team in the FA Cup semi-final. Of course, as we well know, that day ended in disaster, with 96 people dying. I was horrified to imagine how it might have felt if that had been the outcome for our family. This week, after years of waiting and hoping, struggling and suffering, the families of the 96 victims got the outcome that they had campaigned so hard for. The jury at the inquest found that the 96 had been unlawfully killed. And in all the subsequent coverage and comment, there was one remark that was made that caught my attention, and it was made by a mother who lost her 18-year-old son in the tragedy. And she said, "Now it's finished. We can breathe, and the healing can begin." Imagine that after 27 years of pain, that the healing might finally begin. So as I sat down to look at today's gospel reading, I found that Hillsborough was very much in my heart and mind. And in this story, a man had been waiting and hoping. He'd struggled and suffered for 38 years. Each day he'd come to this pool that had a reputation for having healing waters, and he'd waited. Day after day he'd waited for his healing to begin, only to be disappointed. But this day, it's different. And the healing that he has been longing for comes not from the water, but from a stranger, from Jesus. "Get up, pick up your mat and walk," says Jesus, and the man does. But like the story of the Hillsborough tragedy, this story is also mired in controversy. Jesus heals a man who has been ill for 38 years, but that is not what catches the attention of the religious leaders. What catches their attention is that the man who's been healed is carrying his mat. Rather than wondering, "Who did this for you? How did they do it?" they want to know who's working on the Sabbath and who told you you could carry your mat. Much like Hillsborough, the controversy in this story is the abuse of law. According to Jewish law, Jews were obliged to rest on the Sabbath. In fact, the law was very clear and detailed about exactly what that did and didn't cover. But you also have to remember the backdrop to the laws on the Sabbath. And the backdrop to those laws was the story of creation. In the creation story, a parable about the beginning of the world, God created the world in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. And somehow what the religious leaders seem to have forgotten was that God rested on the seventh day because creation was perfect, because the world was complete and whole. Now, the scene that John creates in this story isn't one of perfection and wholeness. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The people who are gathered around this pool are poor and marginalized and vulnerable and excluded, and many of them have been suffering for years. In fact, a lot of these people would probably have been locked out of the city at nighttime because they weren't welcome, because they were different, and so they were regarded as unclean. So the story, I think, hinges on one question. What does God do in the face of suffering? Does God do nothing? Does he put up his feet and rest? Or does God take action? Well, the answer in this story is that God, in the person of Jesus, takes action. He sees the brokenness before him, he sees the suffering of this man, and he does something about it. So what's the real controversy here? Is it that Jesus breaks the law and that Jesus makes the man break the law? Or is actually the real controversy the fact that the religious leaders, the people who were supposed to be closest to God, were prepared to tolerate such suffering and injustice in their city? Jesus took action, but the religious leaders did nothing. They may have hidden behind the excuse that this was the Sabbath, and that's not a bad thing because they were seeking to live right and to honor God. But this healing exposes the fact that the religious leaders still did nothing on the other 6 days of the week. So fine, it's the Sabbath, but they still didn't respond, even on the days when they could. I wonder, when you look at the world, do you see a God who does nothing? Or do you see a God who's taken action to bring healing? There are times when I look at the world and I wonder where God is and I wonder what he's doing. And at those times, this story can speak into that uncertainty. Jesus says to the man, get up. This man who hasn't been able to walk properly for years, get up. And the word that he uses is the same word that's used elsewhere in the New Testament to mean resurrection. So he calls the man to new life, to a new beginning. God's action in the world is resurrection. It's bringing new life, healing and restoring all that's broken. And the resurrection of Jesus is just the beginning of that. So when I struggle to see God in the world, when I wonder how and why he acts, I'm drawn back to the resurrection of Christ, and I'm reminded again that that is the beginning of all things being made new. God is a God of action who doesn't rest until his work is complete. But when I struggle to see God at work in the world, I also have to ask myself this question. Do I see a church that's doing nothing? Or do I see a church that's taken action to bring healing? Earlier this week, I heard a story about a boy from America called Gerald. Gerald decided he wanted a party for his 9th birthday. He sent out 30 invitations to his classmates, and 12 of them responded to say that they could come to his party. His mum decorated the house for an exciting superheroes party, and the cake and party bags were ready to go. But when the party was due to begin, nobody showed up. And they waited, and they waited, and still no one came. And then Gerald's mum began to phone the other parents of the classmates to find out why they hadn't come to the party. And the parents confessed that because Gerald has learning difficulties, he is just too different, and their children don't want to spend time with him. When Gerald's grandma heard what had happened, she put a rant on Facebook. I need to let off some steam. And she also asked her friends, could you please send a birthday card to my grandson, Gerald, so he knows that he matters? The story was shared and shared, and Gerald has received thousands of cards and letters and gifts, and his local council even threw him a surprise party. As Christians, we've received the new life of Christ, and we are charged with sharing it with others. We are charged with bringing hope and bringing healing to people like Gerald, or people like the man by the pool, who others consider are too different for us to spend time with. But it's more than that as well. As resurrection people, we're called to stand with those who are grieving, to stand with grieving families as they pursue truth and justice, even if it takes 27 years to get it. And also, we're called to be resurrection people who can find ways of extending the same compassion that was given to Gerald to the 3,000 unaccompanied refugee children in Europe. We know there are no simple answers, and yet our task is to bring new life to those people and find ways to do it. The religious leaders in this story hid behind the law, but Jesus knew what was at the heart of the law. He took action, and we're called to do the same. If you've come here today and you feel that you are in need of healing of any description, then ask Jesus. I believe that he is the Lord and the giver of life, and he will give us his life if we ask him. Healing doesn't always come in the way that we want or hope or expect, but if we ask Jesus to act, I believe he always acts in our lives. Later on in our service, in a few minutes' time, during communion, there'll be an opportunity to receive prayer for healing, either for yourself or for a concern that you have for someone you care about. So you'll be invited to come forward and receive bread and wine, and then after that, if you want someone to pray briefly with you, then we've got a prayer corner over here on the left. If you wander over there, then you'll be asked if you want to share what your concern is. You don't have to, but you can. You'll then be asked if it's okay to anoint you with oil, and if you're happy with that, they'll sign the sign of the cross on your forehead and say one very short, simple prayer. And that oil is the sign of the presence of God with you. So if you need healing this morning, then I encourage you to ask Jesus to act in your life, or to ask for Jesus' help so that you can act in the life of someone else. Amen.